Good morning. This morning we're going to look at Matthew 11. It's page 899 in your Bible in front of you. And I just invite you to pull it out and let's take a look at what the Scripture has to say today. The words of the Scripture are, "Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. All of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so while today is about supplication, and I came to the Lord asking about writing a sermon about praying for ourselves and praying for each other, I felt God say to me, "I want my people. I want my people to come to me." And so today we're going to sit in the Scripture. And in that place of supplication for ourselves and the cares and the worries that we carry, to bring them to Jesus. So, very good morning here, Elam. How many of you ever have a hard time getting out of work? How many of you ever have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning? Oh, a whole lot more hands went up. How many of you ever find out that the weekend isn't long enough for you to be able to sit around and relax and refresh? Oh gosh, I tell you, yesterday was my normal Sabbath day and I was here at Hope Avenue all day. You will not see hide nor hair of me this afternoon because I will be gone. All of us have days when we are weary. You are weary when? Go ahead, Becky. Just keep them rolling. Oh. Teenager can't quite get it right. Ever felt like that? There was a day I went in my office, said to Eric, "I need you to leave me alone." I shut my office door and I fell asleep on the couch. I was so weary. Go ahead, Beck. I tell you, I think that's the worst. But I'll tell you what, every time my children or my grandchildren went on the porta potty, don't you hang on to them for dear life? Because I don't want them to fall through. I don't want them. But that porta potty there has to be the worst. But we all get weary. We get bad news. We get inundated with bad news. We hear news about the people at the border. We live in crazy times of terrorism and acts of violence. Social upheaval, refugee crisis, chronic illness, disease. A three-week-old baby from our congregation who's going to have very extensive heart surgery. We get weary. And don't even talk to me about what we're doing here in America, and don't even get me started on politics. If ever there was a time that we needed good news, today. Today is the day. Do you agree with me? Today is the day. Go ahead, the next one. I don't really know if this is a highway or not, but look at that. We can go stressed out, sleep deprived, and then the other one says what? Living for weekends and holidays. But isn't that how we feel sometimes? I'm living for a weekend and a holiday. I've lost me. You have lost you in the middle of all of it, haven't you? Don't you sometimes feel that way? That when there's one more crisis, I look around this congregation, I have a woman in here today who has bladder cancer that's back. Heard today of a woman who has breast cancer that has metastasized. This is not okay, people, and it breaks our hearts because these are our peeps. But Jesus says in the midst of it, say the words with me, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." As we look at the story today from the Scripture, we're going to back up to the background and look at historically what is going on in the story. Jesus is in Galilee. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's doing miracles. people know about Jesus by the time we get to Matthew 11. And one of the most beloved passages in the New Testament is what we are looking at today from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. For in it the Lord summarizes the invitation to discipleship that characterized his earthly ministry. But to understand this passage, we need to understand the background. In this passage, the Lord was addressing the people of Israel who were deeply burdened and weighted down with what? With getting it right. With showing you I'm doing it right. With the externalism of who I was as a believer of God. The do's and the don'ts of legalism. How many of you grew up in the 50s? No movies. No dancing. Yeah, some of you are nodding your hands. I remember we here when I was the pastor of young adults and we had a wedding. I danced, but I didn't move my feet. The devout Christian Jewish communities had developed, and they had been taught a list of 600 rules to follow, do's and don'ts, with how they were to live their daily life. 600 of them. And if you broke one of them, you broke the whole law. Can you even imagine? And Jesus comes along, and Jesus takes that list of 600 do's and don'ts, and he narrows them down to how many?
Two.
He narrows them down to two. To love the Lord with all of your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The new church that Jesus established had two rules. This is unheard of. And it caused that continual clash between Jesus and the Pharisees. The Old Testament law was good, and it was holy, and it was righteous. But it did not bring liberty. It brought oppression, and it stole freedom from the people. Paul called it an administration of death. Administration of death. Instead of a sense of release, it brought guilt and it brought failure. So those who were under the Mosaic law were tied to Moses. They were yoked with Moses. Those who were under the authority of the Pharisees were said to be yoked to the Pharisees. But what does this all mean to us today here in July of 2018? And why am I talking about this as we look at the scripture? Because Jesus' invitation, read it to me with me again. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In the Bible, people came to Jesus for many different reasons. They came for forgiveness. They came for answers. They came for healing. We have only to read Matthew 15 as the people poured out of the Gerasenes, out of where the demoniac in Mark 4 had, 5 had been. They poured out of there to get from Jesus what they could get. They came to Jesus for salvation. They came to Jesus hoping for eternal life. Why do you come to Jesus? But Jesus says, you could come to me for rest. Release from the stress, release from the overload. He says, are you weary? Are you overloaded? Come to me. I will give you rest. What the Greek is talking about here is deeper than physical rest. Yesterday, as we left the workday downstairs in Hope Avenue, I looked at Darren and said, don't talk to me anymore. I've done enough. I'm exhausted. My legs don't work anymore. And then he had the audacity to come in this morning and say, oh, I feel so refreshed. I could go at it again. We're overloaded in our mind. We're overloaded in our physical. We're overloaded in our emotions. You need soul rest far more than you need physical rest. You need release from worry. You need release from tension. Does anybody get what I'm talking about this morning? My hand will go up first. You need release from stress, from guilt, from fear, from bitterness, from anxiety. This is called soul rest. And he says, if you're worn out, if you're tired, if you're overloaded, come to me and I will give you soul rest. It's a part of the human condition and it's something we all share, but it's not always something that we want to talk about with somebody else. When I don't feel like one with my spouse, any of you feel that way? When I've got children that are living life on their own, it's as if they have free will. And I don't want them doing what they want to do when they want to do it. I want them following my precept for how they're going to live life. Any of you get what I'm talking about? Got a job that you go to every single day and you work your heart out for them and you're unappreciated or they don't really seem to care if you're even there. I talked with a woman today who was this week who's a very successful CFO, but in her heart wondering what the next step is, wondering if that next step would be back into ministry. We have these wrestlings that are going on us all of the time as we look for God in the middle of us. So tell me, where do you turn to? Where do you turn to when you're exhausted? TV? Do you turn to Jesus? I think many of us would not turn to Jesus. How about watching the TV and propping your feet up? What about Masterpiece Theater? Isn't that just wonderful? What about eating? Any of you come home and find yourself eating? What other kinds of things do you do when you are depleted? Some of us in this room, we drink, don't we? Some of us in this room turn to video games. Back when I was in seminary, the psychological community was preparing that addiction to video games would be the next major addiction in America. Because it sucks people in. Just sucks them in. I will confess, I used to play Mario Brothers. Kids would go to bed and we would sneak in the basement and we would play it. And then about the third time, my husband was way down in the game and I was still at the beginning. And I gave it up. And I've never gone back to it. Because I would get up from playing Mario Brothers and 3 hours had passed. And I came away feeling like I had wasted my time and wasted my life. But none of these things, sitting in front of the TV, putting my feet up, taking a drink or a pill, none of these things can give me the soul rest, the rest that is so deep in me, so needful that God can give me. The antidote for your overloaded soul is not time management. Any of you ever sat down and tried to do this? Gosh, if only I can figure out when the kids need to do this and when work fits in and when I'm going to buy groceries. Colburn's delivers. They're all by me now. We've got I don't even remember what the name of that store is that's come. Costco is coming down the street now from the church. We're going to get it because it'll deliver. It's not an antidote for each of us is that time management. It's not a program for stress reduction. It's not a philosophy in how you are to live your life. Jesus does not say, come to the church. Come to me. He doesn't tell us to come to the church. He doesn't tell us to come to our small group. He doesn't tell us to come to Hope Avenue. He doesn't even say, come to the Bible. Come to me. Come to me. The answer for your overload, the answer for my overload, his name is Jesus Christ. For none of these things can give me the soul rest that I ache for, that I want. What you really need deep down is soul rest when you're emotionally, physically, psychologically exhausted. So let's look at those words, come to me. That word come is a strong call, it's an invitation, it's a strong appeal. It expresses the heart of the Savior. Come, come, come. That word too, it's just a tiny little preposition. Mary, are you in here? We love those prepositions. When I preach, I love to talk about them because they show such expression and such movement. But that word too is a draw into an intimate relationship. Come. Come into an intimate relationship with me. Draw near to me. And that word me, it's a personal pronoun. Note that the Pharisees basically say, do as we say, obey our system. But Jesus says, come to me. What's his point? What's the point about all this? Come to me. This drives home one of the greatest concepts of Christianity that must be taught and it must be grasped. Christianity is a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? There may be some of us in this room who call ourselves Christians, but we have not talked to Jesus today, or we've not come to Jesus today. Come to me. It is a call to the non-believer into that relationship. It's a call to the believer to center ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ, to hide ourselves in there. It's not about a human leader. It's not about a theological system. It is about Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ who wants you to draw near to him, who wants me to draw near to him, and let it all be known. It has nothing to do with how well you get it together or how much I do. You saw it up there. I'm a confessed recoverer in overachieving. I grew up in a family system that being a good worker was a strong value. And to this day, I work hard. And to this day, it's hard for me to stop working hard to rest. To rest. Some of you are right out there with me. That we're all just a part of it together. But let's look at that next word, because he says, come to me all. Jesus is not a respecter of race. He's not a respecter of gender. He's not a respecter of the things that we as people use to tear us apart. One of my rules in Hope Avenue is that if you want to denigrate somebody else, you'll need to leave with your mouth. Because I won't hear it. I won't hear those people who are older or those people younger. I won't hear those people who are of the pink race or those of the yellow race. I will not hear of denigration with any of them. I won't put up with it. Because when we come into the body of Jesus Christ, when we come into God's church, we have every right to come in here and to feel safe physically, to feel safe emotionally, to feel safe within our entire being, because our soul has come home to where the people of God are. Can you hear me, people? We can do a better job. We can do a better job of loving each other. When we look at those words, for you are weary and those who are heavy laden, we have a cause and effect. I am weary because I'm heavy laden. And so as we look at these words, it's a military term as we look at labor or heavy laden. It's a military term that's something that's innocuous like a 100-pound bag of equipment and life survival things becomes a deep, deep weight as you carry it for longer than intended. So what is the promise? What is the promise? Come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest from the pain and the anguish of your illness. I will give you rest in your broken relationships. I will give you rest as you seek rest, as you seek to get away from that bottle and to get away from those pills and to get away from the TV and to get away from whatever it is that is calling your name. But what we like to do when we pray for yourselves, well, I'll talk about me. What I like to do when I pray for myself is to come to the altar and say, oh God, I need your help with this. Thank you for taking it from me. And I put it on the altar and I walk away. Any of the rest of you do that too? Leave it on the altar. But that isn't how God operates. For Christ's invitation is to join him in the yoke so that we can walk together, so that we can work together. He doesn't just want my burden, he wants me. And so in supplication, when I come to the Lord and say, God, I need you, help me with this. Val, as you talk about your heart surgery this next week, God, I need your help with this. God doesn't want just that prayer request, Val. He wants you. And he says, come, son, come to me if you're heavy, if you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We started late, so we'll end early. But I want to close by reading you two pieces of scripture, and I've chosen them out of the message. It's a very contemporary translation of the Bible written in today's language. Matthew 6:6. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Isn't that how we talk? Isn't that how we talk? Find a quiet and secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. To refresh and renew, it's about choosing to be with the Lord. Matthew 11:28, which is where we've been at this morning, says this from the message. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That, my friends, is good news.